chocolate ever in the world. And we actually had three other couples go with us to Disney World this time. And those of you who have seen my Facebook pictures will well understand how exciting it was. Steve Metter was a roller coaster riding machine right there. And Dean, is Dean here? Dean, they were the roller coaster buddies. Y'all are laughing because you've seen the picture. It's like, remember when Peter walked on the water and you know, we all mock him because he fell down the water. Hey, at least he got out of the boat, right? So we can laugh at your picture, but hey, you got on it. You can see me on it. But I put him on it. He's like, now that's, does that really go upside down? I ain't saying a word. So we've been talking about returning to the familiar. And I know we have a lot of guests here today, and I'm glad you're here. And just so you know, this is who we are. I tell people when they call the church, they'll call and want to talk to me. And you know, tell us about church. We want to know, you know. And I always just tell them, look, I'm not being rude, but if you'll just come one time, you're either going to love it or hate it. Because that's just who we are. This is us. Other than I only get to wear jeans the other time, I got on nice pants. But anyway, so it's interesting. I was kicking around ideas of what to share. I almost shared one that I shared when I first moved here, which was called Joe's Bar and Grill, which I've now updated to call Bubba's Beer and Barbecue. But I'll save that for another time when we have other people here. Probably like Easter, because that's when everybody comes. Anyway, but here's what's so ironic. So what I'm going to do today is share, this is a very intimate thing here. Seriously, I'm going to share with you an email that I sent to my daughter, Charity, I can tell you the exact date, on March the 15th of 2017. Her and her husband, Daryl, some of you know, some of you don't, they are in Illinois, and they were starting a church. And basically, because we're a pretty close family, my daughter wanted our approval, if you will, although they would have done it anyway if they didn't have our blessing. But that's not the point. The point is she wanted our blessing. And so as I was thinking it through and understanding my whole life, a lot of you who are here today, I think have been taught to where you don't really understand who God is. If you were like me, you've been taught that, he's just looking to see you do something wrong so he can squash you like a bug and send you to hell. And that was my concept of God until I really began to understand the Bible, believe it or not. In the Bible, it talks about his goodness, okay? So I just share that to say, so what my thoughts came to me, so here's, I'm just going to share my email with you, and then we can go eat food. And that's why we're here anyway, right? It's like, hurry up, Steve, get out of the way so we can go eat food. I get it. So here's the beginning. I mean, this is it. And I'm going to send this to Charity after I tell her, hey, by the way, I just did this. All right. I put, Charity, since you're starting a work there, I do believe there's something in that area of the country that's seriously missing, and that's the love, the compassion, the mercy, and grace that only Jesus provides. So that means that any heavy-handedness will not be welcomed, that people will find their value in the great price that was paid, not in the things that they can merit or earn, that it's all about Jesus and not about them, that they must be Jesus-conscious and not self-conscious, that they are not righteous but are declared righteous, not because of what they've done but because of what Jesus did on the cross, that grace is not a doctrine, it's a person, and his name is Jesus, that repentance, metanoia, is not penance or remorse, but a dramatic change of mind concerning Jesus and his work on the cross, and that grace is grace and cannot be commingled with works. So that means you must believe and teach. And then I put little bullet points, which I'm going to share with you today. Here's my first bullet point to my daughter. You teach that God completely forgives all sins and no longer deals with you based upon your actions. Not that God has forgiven you, but your actions determine the depth of relationship you can have with him. Because that's what we've been taught. And just so you know, I gave her these same, here's the scripture that I sent to her. She knows it, she's been raised in it, but I wanted to remind her, and this is his word. Can we, Paul's writing to Romans, can we boast then that we've done anything to be accepted by God? No, because our acquittal is not based on obeying the law, it's based on faith, belief, the word is pistis. It's based on faith, So we are made right with God through believing that we are made right through God. Do you get it? But through believing and not by obeying the law. So again, that was my point. That's bullet point one. Here was my next bullet point. Teach that God declares you righteous and holy. As you focus on this truth, your conduct will come into alignment. May I pause there for 1 second? Listen to me very carefully. For years and years and years, I battled sin in my life. I couldn't get away from sin. I tried to run from sin. I tried to confess my sin every single day. I did it all, and nothing changed in my life until this very thing became a part of my heart, that I am declared righteous by God, that I have no righteousness in me, and I am holy and right because of Him. And then I put, and don't teach, not that in Christ God sees you as righteous and holy, but you are still this terrible sinner beneath the surface, and you have to try to become more holy and righteous. Have anybody in here, please help me, because if you have, I want the formula. Have any of anybody in here really ever done that, become more holy and more righteous? Have you done it? No, stack your hair up, lengthen your dress, girls. Quit wearing makeup, John. I just happened to look at John, and there you were, and it just came out before I could. Do you get what I'm saying? It's impossible. It's silly. It's silliness. Okay, let's use the Bible. Since we're going to use the Bible, let's look. When people work, Paul said, their wages are not a gift, but something. When you work, you get $25 an hour. You get your money. You earned it. You earned it. Yay. But watch this. But people are counted righteous not because of what you work, not because of the things you stop doing or you try to do. Man, you're counted righteous because of your faith in God who forgives, totally forgives the sinner. So, here was my next bullet point. This is going to be the shortest sermon ever. My wife's going to love this. Next, please. Let me make sure I'm staying on target here. Yes, that's where we're at. So teach that the law was a temporary covenant. And listen to me very carefully. The law was a temporary covenant. Yes, it's part of the Bible. Yes, 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 it has meaning. I've told you a million times, those of you who come here, the law is perfect. It's perfect. It's good. It is. There's nothing wrong with the law. The problem is us people. We ain't perfect. We ain't good. Dwayne touched on it this morning, man. We serve the one who's perfect. So why are we trying to be perfect? You can't do it. And if you, again, I want your formula if you got it. Because it's not there. I did it for years. So teach that it's temporary to show you that you couldn't please God by your actions and that God has created a new covenant. New covenant, the word covenant means contract. It's like you're signing a new contract for a new house. But you have created a new covenant, and Christians are no longer under the law. And don't teach that it's required to do a constant study of what is right and wrong, which means most of your sermons will be about what your conduct should be rather than about Jesus. I'm telling you, that's all I ever got when I was growing up, is the right and wrong and how bad I am and how terrible this is. And I never got Jesus. I just got how bad I was. And I know I'm bad. It's not going to work. Okay, well, let's use the Bible then, Steve. Show me something in the Bible that proves that God's this good. I'm telling you, I thought forever He was mean. John, I thought He was mean. I read it. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believed in Him. I mean, it's like I was an auctioneer. Whoever believed in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Sold. Look at this. God's law was given. Okay, please watch this. This is why God's law was given. This is the only reason God's law was given. The only reason. So quit letting people tell you there was another reason. There's no other reason. God's law was given so that all people could see how stupid we are, how sinful we are, how we can't do it. We can't do it. We can't do it. Good Lord, y'all, if you would just get to the point where you would admit that you can't do it, Jesus will set you free. Amen. He will set you free. I didn't want to yell again because then people said, man, all that preacher does is yell at me. I'm not yelling at you. I'm yelling with you. I, you know what's so funny? My yell is different than most yell. I just have this passion. I have this passion that people get and understand what I get to walk in. And I want you to get it long before I ever got it. I was 50 years old before I got this. And some of y'all aren't even there. Man, that reminds me. Wow, how's this for my ADD? This Tuesday is 911. Those of you who live in our area or would like to come at 8:30 at our Veterans Memorial, our new Veterans Memorial, there will be a memorial thing for the 911. Anyway, I don't know, something threw that in my brain. That was crazy. So watch this. So God's law was given so that all people could see how sinful they were. But as people sinned more and more because they saw how much they sinned, and it just reinforces it. But as the people sinned more and more, God's wonderful grace became more abundant. So just as sin ruled over all the people and brought them to death, now, right now, God's wonderful grace rules instead, giving us right standing with God and resulting in eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. Ha! Huh? How cool is that? I can't believe that's really in the Bible. You know what? Literally, 12 years ago, I have read the Bible my whole ministry life, my whole life. 10 or 12 years ago is when I finally started, I started getting it, if that's the right word. You know, the V8 moment. Yeah, I could have had a V8. Okay. This was the next thing, my next bullet point. Teach that your identity is rooted in God's Word. Not that your identity is rooted in your actions. This is so important. Because the truth is, ever since I started rooting my life in His Word, my actions aren't important. We only have a certain amount of time every day, right? So if we're constantly battling how bad of a person we are and the actions that we do that are stupid, then we're going to set aside God's Word because we think it's going to burn us and send us to... Get into God's Word. God's Word is not a drudgery. It used to be for me. I used to read the Word because I was supposed to. I used to read the Word because the preacher would tell me, well, you just need to read the Bible more, man. You need to pray more. So I'd fake it all. I didn't know what I was doing. But the Word became flesh finally in my life, as it says in John. And it dwelt, He tabernacled with me. And now the Word is my life. And so I run to the Word, not to, oh, well, yeah, I'll do a dumb action, but out of that dumb action, I run to the Word that says, I am the righteousness of God. Amen. In Christ. Hallelujah. Outside, no, out here, I am the righteous filthy rags, but I am the righteousness of God in Christ. Greater is He that is in me than all this noise happening in the world. And it becomes more than just hearsay. It becomes a part of your life. And so you become, your identity gets rooted in God's Word instead of your identity rooted in your actions. Thus, when you do something dumb, instead of groveling before God, asking Him to try to figure it out, you do something dumb, you just laugh and you look at your father and you go boldly to Him and say, man, I only did that once this week instead of twice like I did last week. Here's the Word. I love the Word. I love the Word. This includes you guys. Paul's talking to Colossians this time. This includes you guys who were once far away from God. You were His enemies, separated from Him by your evil thoughts and your actions. This is where all of mankind is until they come to know Jesus. We are separated from God because of our evil thoughts and our evil actions. And some people choose that for their whole life. But that's who we are. Verse 22, yet now He, God, has reconciled you to Himself. In other words, God has opened up the door to you again through the death of Christ in His physical body, not through anything that you can do, achieve, or accomplish. Do you hear me? I don't give a rip how much money you give to a church, how many people you serve. That's not the point. The point is what Jesus did. You're now reconciled to Him because of what Christ did, and because of what Christ did, as a result, He's brought you into His own presence. And you are holy and you are blameless as you stand before Him without a single fault. How much plainer can it get? But instead, we just take time to point out the faults of others. When instead we should be pointing them to Jesus, who says they don't have any fault. Man, you know, social media is a medium that I used to curse, but I now understand could be powerful. Do you realize if we use social media instead of to share our opinion of life, just to share Jesus and who He is, how powerful that would be? You get me? Now, I get sharing fun things. You know, like I said, I've put some fun pictures of Disney World and stuff. I get all that, but man, if we're going to use it as a platform, let's instead use it for a platform of opinion. Use it for a platform of somebody of the perfect one where nobody else is perfect. Like it or not, ladies and gentlemen, Jesus died and loves Colin Kaepernick. Like it or not, ladies and gentlemen, Jesus loves every veteran that has died for this country. Do you get it? Stop it! Sorry, wow, where'd that come from? Boo, get thee behind me. I just see this. We all have our friends on Facebook. And I put friends, look, I'm saying happy birthday to people. I don't have a clue who they are. You get it. Y'all get it. I really, in the beginning, I don't know if y'all remember, but remember when Facebook first, because I'm just a Facebook guy, I'm not an Instagram or any of them others. When it first started, how funny it was that I just felt uncomfortable telling something. Cause I have several friends that actually have read my book, so they really don't know me. And so they just became, I have friends, it's really kind of cool, actually, like from Jamaica and from India that actually bought my book over there and they read it, and so they're my friends. But then their birthday comes up, and first I'm like, okay, happy birthday to you, buddy. You know, and I just felt now it's kind of like a part of life. So now it's like, okay, well, I wonder who that is. So sometimes I'll click on there and see who their friends are, and there'll be a block of friends that are from California. So it's like, oh, that's when I was in California. Or there'll be a block of friends from when I went to college. Oh, that's when. Or there'll be a block of friends from my drug days. And it's like, oh, he's still alive. Oh, well, how cool is that? Anyway, that was just kind of a side note. We have a wonderful platform if we would use it as a wonderful platform. Man, just post that scripture and then watch how everybody will come at you. But you, see, then that's what happens. But yeah, but you just, look, it ain't about yesterday. It's about today. It's about Jesus today. Anyway, one of my favorite scriptures. So here's the next one. Where am I at? Let me make sure I'm on point here for me. Yes. Teach that. And this again, I'm talking to Charity and I'm telling her, she's wanting to help. I said, so you need to teach that Christian life is all about abiding in Christ. And by Christ's death on the cross, you have been made one with the Godhead and can enjoy union with God 24/7, entirely by God's initiative, not your own. Do you get it? And I said, and don't teach that Christian life is all about getting closer to God. We abide in Christ. We don't have to get closer to God. Do you hear what I'm saying? And listen, I know this is rattling every religious bone in your body, because I was taught forever that you got to get closer and you got to do this. No, stop. We abide in Him. So not that the Christian life is about getting closer to God so that you must try to grow closer in relationship with God, because that's a 24/7 job and you'll never get it done. Scripture, here it is. Sorry, the word's true, but God is so rich in mercy. And He loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, He didn't squash us like a bug and start over. And He should have. And I would have, which is why I'm not God. He gave us life, 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 when He raised Christ from the dead. And it's only by God's grace that you've been saved. Verse 6, for He raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with Him. How much closer can you get? Do you hear me? People, well, you just need to get closer to God. You're sitting there with Him. Recognize it. Sit in it. Sit in it. I was going to say walk in it, but you're sitting. Sit in it. He gave us life when He raised us. So for He raised us from the dead, and we're seated with us in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ. What keeps you from thinking you are not united with Christ is because of the sin factor that is in your life. When you understand that Christ took care of all of that sin forever and ever and ever, you're going to be released from that, and your life will start walking out better, and you won't start doing as much stupid stuff when you get that you're seated with Him and He's right there with you constantly forever. Amen. The Holy Spirit who raised Christ from the dead lives in you. That's powerful stuff. And that's a powerful love that I don't know that I'll ever understand, but man, it's cool. So, okay, where am I at? That was the Ephesians. Okay, let me see how many more I got so you don't be bored. 1, 2, 3, 4. Oh, man. If I see sin, 48 more. It's not a deal. We'll get there. No, there's about 5 more. Here you go. Next one. This is it. Teach that you need only believe and you get to enjoy intimacy with the Father. Not that you have to be more hungry. Stop right there. Yes, Jesus said, those who hunger and thirst after righteousness will be filled. Yes, 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 yes. But what is He telling you? The hunger and thirst happens in relationship with Him. Do you get what I'm saying? It's not outside of relationship with Him. Do you hear me? And listen, you remember the whole Martha and Mary story, right? Where Martha was in the kitchen, blah, blah, blah. The truth is, Mary had chosen the better thing. She was with Jesus. She was. You will not get pregnant in the kitchen. Do you hear what I'm saying? It's not about work, 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 work. Oh, Jesus is going to bless me. No, He's not. You're going to live with Him. You're going to hang with Him. He's going to love you. You're going to serve Him. You're going to serve Him out of a love relationship, not out of a duty relationship out here. Do you get it? So, not to become more hungry and aware of how much you lack God and that you can press into prayer and fasting and become more holy and start growing closer to God. All of that is about you. Is that not true? All of that is about what you can do, how you can get it accomplished, how you stop it. You will never get there. You can't do anything. Jesus has done everything. And when you believe that, you will start walking in the most freedom you've ever had in your life. And other people can't even offend you anymore because of who Jesus is, not because of who you are. Because you aren't very good, but He's great. Wow. So here's the scripture, just in case you want one. But just at the right time, God is always on time. God sent His Son. Here we go. It's about Jesus again. God sent His Son, born of a woman, subject to the law. He was. God sent Him to buy freedom for us who were slaves to the law so that He could adopt us so that we were His children. Well, that means I'm a stepchild. No, that means you were chosen. I have 3 children. I didn't get to pick them. My Leah, she's gone home. Charity and her husband are in Illinois. Jake and Tiffany are in Weatherford. I didn't get to pick them. I love them. Don't get me wrong. I love them. But how cool would it be if we could pick them? And we can, because we can adopt too, right? So don't be telling me, oh, yeah, that's right. I'm just a step. No, sir. What does He say? You didn't pick me. I picked you. It says it in the other part where Jesus said, you didn't pick me. I picked you. I picked you. How cool is that? So He adopted us to be His very own children. And because we're His children, do you understand how the Word, if you'll eat this Word, how it's going to change you? That's where your life is in the Word. And it's not in the Word out of me dumping guilt that you need to read the Bible in a year. Stop trying to read the Bible in a year. Read 3 verses and let it and chew on it. Let it settle in your heart. That sounds like somebody I know. Sorry. And because we're His children, so we're His very own children, and because we are His children, God sent the Spirit of His Son into our heart. He didn't leave us alone. He didn't die for us and go to heaven and go, well, you're on your own now. Good luck. He sent His Spirit. Now look at this. In our hearts, prompting us to call out, Daddy God, Abba Father. You know, Jesus freaked the whole world out, the whole church world out, because that's all He called God was Daddy. He called Him Abba. One time, He called Him Ele. Ele, ele, lama sabachthani. My God, why have you forsaken me? It's the only time He ever called Him God. The rest of the time He would call Him Daddy. And it freaked them out. we can call him Dad. That's what he says. That spirit in us prompts us to call out Daddy, God, Abba Daddy. So now you're no longer a slave, but you're God's own child. And since you're his child, holy smoke, you get all of his stuff. Well, it doesn't say it that way, does it? It says God has made you his heir. All right, let's go to the next one. I've only got three more. Well, four. I lied. Teach Charity Charity Evans, that you believe that Christ in us is the hope of glory. That you have been made the temple of God and you have access to his presence. Don't teach that you believe God's presence only shows up when you corporately please him and with your worship and prayer and penance. By the way, all these people are walking out. They're not mad at me. They're going to prepare for the meal. Just so you know, I mean, if you're welcome to walk out mad at me. It's happened before, but I'm just telling you, they're not, because if they were, they'd probably walk out the back door if they were mad. So if you see them going out and they go out the back door, they're, anyway. Half the church is preparing the meal. Wait, back up for a second. Is for me, so I can get my brain on it. Not that you believe God's presence only shows up when you corporately please him with your worship, your prayer, and your penance, but believe that he's in us. All right, go ahead. And here's the scripture. Therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by believing in what Christ did for us on the cross, the word pistis again, we have peace with God because of what Christ our Lord has done for us. Listen to me, y'all, please. If you're not walking in peace, then you're not believing this. Do you hear me? You can, in the midst of whatever storm, you can walk in peace. You can be like Jesus when he slept in the storm. I mean, it was powerful that he stopped the storm. I get it, but man, it was more powerful to me that he slept in the storm. You can walk in peace, but this is the only way you're going to get it, by believing. Therefore, you've been made right with God by faith. So we have peace. Why? Because we believe we've been made right with God. Again, not because of what I've done, but because of what he's done. I'm going to share this till the day I die. Listen to me. When God looks at the cross, he sees your ugly self. He does. He sees how nasty and terrible and horrible you are. When he looks at the cross, that's what he sees. But when he looks at you, he sees Jesus. Do you hear me? I'm not just saying that to say it. It's truth. So that when you feel all bad about yourself, stop it. Look at yourself through his eyes. Because Jesus went through a whole lot of stuff for you. And it wasn't just to play to make us have a feel good and figure something out, so that we could believe what he's done for us. So we have this peace with God because of what Christ did for us. Because of our faith, Christ has brought us into this place of undeserved privilege. I don't deserve it. Stop trying to earn it. You don't deserve it if you could earn it. Do you get it? I have to believe that I'm in this place of undeserved privilege, and I am. And that's where I stand. That's why I've had the strangest things happen. Most people, because we're in the United States of America, are impressed because it'll be financial things. I mean, we've had strange financial things happen to our life, my wife and I, just forever. And I don't mean just find a $100 bill. I'm talking about strange. I'm talking about one time when I traveled for the college and we had a $300 gas bill that I had to pay out of they paid me per diem. And I had to pay my automobile gasoline out of the, and so they, it was $375 or something, and the Shell only charged me $3.75. They misread it. So Gay and I just hid for a while. No, I'm kidding. You know, because we're trying to be people of integrity. So Gay calls them and says, "Hey, man, you guys made a mistake. This is only supposed to be, $375, not." And that's a lot of gas money back those days, not $3.75. And the girl says to her, "Ma'am, could we just let it go? It's just too much of a problem to change it." Yeah, sure. As opposed to, I had a guy that used to come to this church that he was looking for a job, you know, and he found $300 in a bank bag. And he came up to me on a Wednesday night service and he said, "Pastor, I found $300. God has blessed me. I found $300. And I says to him, "Was there a deposit slip in the bank bag?" He says, "Yeah." And I know I must have looked at him weird because he kind of walked off. And then about a minute later, he comes back and he goes, I just want you to know I'm going to tithe on that. I'm going to pay my guilt money on that. And actually, I think he finally took it back. How can you? Some stuff I can't wrap my brain around. Oh, yeah, so somebody's now, oh, well, yeah, God bless me. Oh, I'm good stealing. Yeah, because at least you now know the name of the guy you stole from, right? Because of our undeserved privilege is incredible, and it's true. Where we stand, and we confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory. Glory, again, with the understanding and the meaning of glorifying God means to make Him bigger than He is. His reputation becomes bigger. He's more important than anything else. So for us to joyfully share in God's glory, for us to joyfully talk about God and not us, we have to really believe it's about God and not us. You get it? Because how many times have we been stopped dead in the tracks, especially if it's people we know that we try to share Jesus with, and they just look at us and say to us, you're a Christian? I saw you. You did this. See, but it's not about me no more. Because I walk confidently and joyfully in God's glory. And so it just kind of happens. You just kind of do Jesus, and it just happens. We were at Disney World, man, and this little 10-year-old kid, I say 10-year-old, 8 or 9-year-old, anyway, just the sweetest little kid, and he's all excited, and they went to all the parks that day, and so I'm all into it, you know. I'm like, really? Where'd you start? Oh, well, we started at Animal Kingdom, and we went to Epcot, and he tells me the whole story. And I'm like, really? He goes, yes, and he's just excited. Tomorrow we're going to go get my watch. We're going to go get my watch from the down Disney Springs. And I'm like, really? What? Oh, it's a Star Wars watch. And he says, I've saved up $100 through helping his granddad who has Alzheimer's for 4 months. Well, it so touched me. And so I took a $20 bill out, and I'm like, I'm going to give you this, and I want to tell you why. Because you've worked hard for your $100. And, you know, blah, 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 blah. And you know, just basically, you're just a good kid. You're showing work ethic, you know, the whole thing. And I do that, and I stand back, and just spontaneously, he didn't have a clue who I am. He runs over and hugs me. Come to find out, they go to church, and because he had pointed out at Angela's little cross on her thing, and long story short, at the end of it too, Steve Metter gave him another 20. Come to find out, we didn't know this. The watch was actually $140, but Mama was gonna single mom who told us that her son 2 years earlier, her brother had died, and it was her son that pulled her out of it. To you know what I'm saying? So anyway, I share all that to say, when you walk confidently and joyfully in the Lord, you don't have to be beating Jesus into people. Dude, we had an Asian guy that was one of the Minnie Mouse drivers, and we're driving, and come to find out, and the reason I tell you he's Asian, because you just don't view that as a Afghanistan Marine war veteran, all right? So he's just a happy Chinese guy, and I'm sitting up talking to him, and he's like, he said he left Disney and then came back after he went into the Marines. I'm like, you in the Marines? Yeah. I said, did you ever do a tour? Yeah, I did Afghanistan. Anyway, long story short, shared with him, not Jesus in the words, but, you know, about what I do and how, you know, you need, anyway, long story short, longer. When we go back, I've got his information. I'm going to talk to him again. Because he's got some serious PTSD stuff he's working on. This was God. But I promise you, if I hadn't been to the place that I'm confident and joyful, because he could have seen me do something bad, it wouldn't have stopped me from just loving somebody. When you get there, it's really cool. Okay, sorry, I kind of stopped there, got stuck there. Let's go to the next. Let me make sure I'm on the same page. Teach. That, yes, this is, God is so good to give stuff like this to me. Teach that your focus is on the habitation of God, not on the visitation of God. He inhabits us. The Bible says it, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. That word dwelt is the word tabernacled. He was made flesh and He tabernacles among us. It's not about we need a visitation. Stop! He lives in a scripture. Here we go. Here's the word. and Christ lives in you. Man, I wish he would be, like, there's an old song that I don't like because it would say, Holy Spirit, come, let this be your home. Stop! The Holy Spirit's inside. The Bible tells us the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is inside you if you believe. If you believe in Jesus, Christ lives within you. So even though your body's going to die because of this stupid sin stuff, the Spirit gives us life because you've been made right with God. You have not achieved it, you have been made it. You have been declared it. Verse 11, the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. And just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, He'll give life to your mortal bodies by this same living Spirit that lives in you. How cool is that? All right, I got two more to go. Well, yep, two more to go. Here we are at the next one. Charity teach that your relationship with God and standing before Him in personal development has nothing to do with your conduct, but has everything to do with Christ's gift of grace to you and your free and simple acceptance of that gift. His yoke really is easy, and His burden is light. So don't teach that your relationship with God, standing before Him personally developed, is deeply tied to your conduct, and you thank Jesus for His gift of grace and acknowledge that without it, you would be nowhere, but then you try to add to that grace by doing your best to change, growing closer to God, and improve yourself. It's the most fruitless and difficult and frustrating, and it will never happen. And again, anybody in here that that's happened for, and you've done that, God bless you. I want to know how that happened. Here's the word. But there is a great difference. There is a great difference between Adam's sin and God's gracious gift. A big difference. For the sin of this one man, Adam, brought death to many. But even greater is God's wonderful grace and His gift of forgiveness. It's a gift of forgiveness. You can't even earn forgiveness. Listen to me, man. We don't understand that kind of forgiveness, because the truth is, John, if I say, John, forgive me, you can refuse to forgive me. That's not who Jesus is. It's done. This gift of forgiveness to many through this other guy, Jesus Christ. And the result of God's gracious gift is very different from the result of that guy's sin, talking about Adam. Because Adam's sin led to condemnation, still does, by the way. But God's free gift leads us to our being made right with God, even though we're guilty of many sins. For the sin of this one man, Adam, caused death to rule over many, and it's the biggest frustrating thing ever, isn't it? I didn't do anything to deserve to be born into sin. But watch. And for the sin of this one man, Adam, I said that, but even greater is God's wonderful grace and His gift of righteousness. For all who receive it will live in triumph over sin. How do I live in triumph over sin? By understanding that you are righteous because of what Jesus did. For whatever reason, we gripe and complain about Adam and about men. We didn't do anything to deserve this. It's the same thing about righteousness. We didn't do anything to deserve righteousness. Jesus did it all on the cross. So there's no reason to flop back and forth. Stay in His righteousness. Well, I don't do righteous. That's not about you doing righteous things. It's about you walking in His righteousness. But here's what's really cool. When you walk in His righteousness, you end up doing righteous things out of the flow of who you are in Him. You get it? Out of the flow of who you are in Him. This is the whole Galatians chapter 5 thing about the fruits of the Spirit. The fruits of the Spirit will grow. All those love, joy, peace, long sufferings, all that stuff grows in us because of Him, not us. And it's precious because you know why? Because that's our assignment. Our assignment isn't us. Our assignment is other people. And other people, by the way, look at somebody. Just turn around and look at somebody that maybe you don't know. Look at somebody you don't know. Make you real uncomfortable. Look at him. Do you know? Well, you know him. Sorry, you got to look at somebody you don't know. That person is precious. Do you get it? That person is just as precious. And hopefully maybe y'all will look at somebody you hated. That's even better. Because that person is precious. All right, let's see. I finished. We live in triumph over sin, and we live in triumph over death through this one man. What do you mean over sin and death? Jesus, when He died, the Word says very clearly, He went down to hell, and He took the keys to death, to hell, and the grave. Well, what do you mean we overcome death? Listen, you're going to switch milk cartons? You're going to get a new body. Yay for the new body, huh? I mean, for me, yay for the new body. And mine's not so much about fat anymore. It's just slow and achy, breaky, and it's not my heart. I should write a song, Achy, Breaky Body. If you want my heart, my achy, breaky body, you don't understand. I just can't wait till some of you young bucks get my age and think that, well, I'm not. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. Let me tell you something, man. Right now, you can, like, eat food, and it just burns right off of you. It ain't happening at my age. At my age, you smell food and gain weight. Now, I ain't playing. You know, and you can eat all that cardboard you want. All right. Man, that wasn't in my notes, but it needed to be said. Here's my last point to charity, and then I'll read you what I said to her, and I'll be done. And then I said, Charity, teach that you start your Jesus journey from tetelestai. It's what Jesus said on the cross when he said, it is finished, tetelestai. Strong word. I've taught it here many times. It's a word that means it's totally, completely done. Nothing can be added. Nothing can be changed. It's done. Teach that that's where you start from, not that you start your journey and try to chase Jesus down. But wait, what about the Apostle Paul when he says, I press on to the goal? He didn't say he pressed on to Jesus. He said, I press on to the goal of God. What's the goal of God? To press on to the goal. What's the goal of God? To press on to the goal. What is the goal of God? Read the Bible. To love people and to serve people. What's the goal of God? Read the Bible. It's very clear. It's extremely clear. It's over and abundantly clear. So we teach that you start your Jesus journey from a finished position, not that you start your journey trying to reach it. What does that mean? That means I start here and I am viewed as Jesus is. I am viewed. Do you get it? I am viewed as he is, not as other people suspect him to be. I'm viewed as he is. So from this finished position, I do life. And I do life abundantly, and because I don't have all the other stuff hanging around me about what I need to do and how I need to fix this and how I don't do that, man. Now I just pay attention to life and the people around me and life. I just do life from knowing that Jesus said it is finished, and it is, and I don't have to fix it. So I start, my beginning starts at the, so when Jesus died, that was the end of the beginning, of the end of the beginning. And then, here's the last thing I said to Charity, and I am done. So after I really sent her this whole thing. I spent more time on it than probably any message I've ever preached. But she's my kid, right? And then I put, bottom line, Charity. Bottom line, if you teach your people grace, and I put Jesus, that their holiness and or relationship with God is solely reliant on Christ, then you're good to go, and you are desperately needed there. If not, you're wasting your time, because anything other than that, what I just shared in this email, is available to everyone in your area, and you are not needed. Then I put, so there you go. You have my blessings. That and a $5 bill will get you a cup of Java at Starbucks. I said, love you more than words can express. Get her done, Dad. There you go. And by the way, I wanted to share that today with those of you who, like I said, you don't come here a lot. And I know it's probably shaking a lot of you. It's not the point. The point is, this God that created us desperately loves you and wants you to be a real part of him. And he has no expectations of you but just to hang with him. Oh, you'll change, but you'll change out of blossoming up and flowing. Sorry.